Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is the 15th of January. I do have a treat for you this morning. It's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and so we're going to be celebrating that with a song. But also my guest today, Sherry Dougal, is a poet, activist, and dancer, teacher, and she represents a couple of things that Dr. King really stood for over the civil rights movement into the anti-war, and just as an example of the way that he, as an individual, came and put his support with the bus boycott movement and then moved forward as a minister, he motivated masses. So we're going to hear about how Sherry motivated masses and how the work that she's doing here in Vancouver, connecting with something very serious that's happening in India. But first, we will just sing Happy Birthday, as written by Stevie Wonder for Dr. King.
But David Woods, he said, aside for his recognition, because it should never be, just because some cannot see, the dream is clear as he, that they should make it become an illusion, and we all know everything that each different time will bring, or in peace our hearts will sing. Martin Luther King,
happy birthday.
That was Stevie Wonder, song that was created and made for this day that became a holiday. Stevie Wonder, as an entertainer, risked everything when he stood on picket lines and even got arrested in working to get the United States government to recognize Martin Luther King holiday, which is coming up on Monday. But today I have a person who also has stood on the line and has a poem called I Stand With Farmers. But Sherry, good morning. Say hello to our listeners.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on the program, Charlotte. It really is an honor on this very special day of Martin Luther King's birthday itself. Really, really a big honor. Thank you.
Yes, well, you took a stand, and that was one of the things that he encouraged people to do. He talked a lot about servant leadership and taking a stand. We're going to hear your I Stand with Farmers poem, but before that, tell us a little bit about what that means. Why? What is the stand that needed to be taken?
Absolutely, Charlotte. Poets are activists, as you know, in their own right. Every piece that I try to write is meant to provoke thought. And, you know, food is something you just take granted of. You just eat the food. You don't know how much goes into it. What farmers have to struggle to get the food onto your plate. And right now, the poorest part of the country, the poorest part of an already poor country, are struggling for their livelihood because of these new laws that are coming into place. And the main reason behind this is corporate greed is the key thing. Government-backed killings, all these things going on right behind their backs. Well, actually, right out in the open. And this is a big thing because food is something that everyone eats. Each part of the world has something unique to offer. And for example, India is known as the mistress of spices. So whenever you put a spice into your food, it's most probably from India. It is also the number one producer of cotton. And that's just some of the things that makes India special. And I'm not an ethnocentric, or I'm not fighting for my country. I just don't want what's happening in India to set a precedent for all other part, different parts of the world, other parts of the world. And I don't want this to become a downward trend where the quality of our food is compromised, because food is health.
Yes.
You know, and food is love. And food is nourishment. And we're taking away the very meaning of food itself.
And so I was impressed because I do remember, you know, a point of short, you know, sometimes maybe they have a news bite when they talked about Canadian farmers standing with Indian farmers. What is the significance? Why do you think Canadian farmers were motivated to stand?
Of course, my parents are from India. And because we are from India, obviously I have a vested interest in it. But like I said, if you're human, you should be vested in this also. I believe in humanity. I believe in human rights. And right now, that part of the world, every part of the world is struggling. But when it comes to food, this is the first protest of its kind on this planet. It does not involve religion. It does not involve politics, believe it or not. And this is the largest protest on this planet till date, which should get everyone thinking and curious about what is going on. And I didn't know what was going on either, Charlotte. I was just looking through Facebook. I'm like, oh, what is this I Stand With Farmers thing? And then I researched into it and I realized how it can impact the whole world. So it doesn't matter whether you're Indian, doesn't matter whether you're Asian, European, what Australian, doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. Everyone should be looking into this and thinking deeper about this particular protest that is going on in my homeland.
I know one of the issues is protection and subsidies. In the United States, farmers are subsidized for a number of things. In Canada, there's subsidies. What's happening with the subsidies in India?
Well, it's basically the government wants corporate organizations to take over everything. And if that happens, that'll be a big problem. It'll lead to a deregulation of everything that's going on. And that is part of the big problem. And once that happens, greed will take part. Because Charlotte, honestly, health is no priority. Sickness is more of a benefit than health. Sickness creates wealth. And just like chopping down a tree creates wealth too. So we have to reprioritize our values and shift our values to those things that really matter, which is the quality of our food, the quality of our environment, because we are air, we are water, we are soil, we are fire, we are the five elements, which is what all ancient forms of medicine are also based on, this whole concept of the five elements.
Right. And the elements, you know, I think as you talked about globally, spice is the fundamental thing in food. Every label that you look on, there's some type of spice, you know, unless it's just something packed in water. And we don't really think about the spices, you know, that Canada doesn't grow a lot of spices, you know, that a lot of the wealth of the world in commerce came about with the trading of spices, and spices being a monetary, a standard. You know, it's so small, we don't think about it, the significance. In your poem, you bring out some of those things. Can you share I Stand With Farmers with us?
Oh, absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Sherry Dougal, and I wrote this poem called I Stand With Farmers, dedicated to the farmers, not only in India, but all across the world. And my poem starts with a homage to nature, which is called Japji Sahib. Pavan Guru Pani Pita, Mata Dharat Mahat. Air is the teacher, water the father, and the earth is the great mother. Don't take my mother away from me. I too am a daughter of the land. You can see her fields growing inside the curves of my hips. Rivers and streams flow through my limbs as calloused hands and sore feet take me through a journey of the past, where a catalog of framed faces, where a catalog of framed faces appears in front of me, longing to be touched by the light. I stay connected with her and go deep within, exploring the landscape of my own body. She is my home, and I'm rooted in her. Don't take my mother away from me. Tyrant after tyrant strips her of her worth, but she continues to feed me despite her empty plate. She teaches me how to till the fertile soil of my heart. Your heart is not for sale, she says. It is the soul of a nation. She cradles me in her arms, and I yield to her. Overflowing with abundance, her love spills over, allowing seeds to burst open with the heat of the sun. The wind stirs inside me. She's my foundation, and with every step I take, she gives me permission to flower and blossom into who I am. My mother's words echo through the garden of my mind, calling forth tenderness from tissues of vulnerability. Transform your weakness into strength, she says. Transform your weakness into strength, like raw cotton turned into thread that is magically weaved into the fabric of your being. My mother gives me clothes to wear. She nurses me back to health with leaves drained and dried. In her kitchen are cartons of milk, bags of basmati rice, whole wheat atta flour. I can hear the grinding of mortar and pestle in the background as she hands me over a neatly arranged spice box. She's the mistress of spices. I see yellow turmeric, red chili powder, cumin and ground coriander with varying shades of brown. She adds a pop of mustard seeds to fried onions that sizzle amid sliced green chili peppers in a garlic ginger base. Don't take my mother away from me. She reminds me that each morsel I eat represents a way of life. She reminds me that home is not handcuffed to the watch on my wrist. Home is not handcuffed to the watch on my wrist, but resides under the temple of a blue sky, beneath which lush scenic views lie scattered across the horizon of that which is you.
Astounding. That is such a beautiful view of mother and the earth and the food. I would not have really pictured it in that same way. We think of bags and things in the grocery store, but the essence, it's almost, I see two things, because one, you as an activist and you as a teacher, it's almost as the poem, the mother is whispering to you about what to do and how to be with people. What do you think about that poem and the concept of steward leadership, servant leadership?
Well, it's a nonviolent protest. Ultimately, the farmers are not out for anything. And that's why I wanted to mention that phrase, because it is nonviolence. It's called ahimsa. And that is what Gandhi also promoted in my very homeland. So it's all about nonviolence. And that's what the mother is teaching her, despite her empty plate, despite the poverty and the greed. That's what she's teaching. And yeah, I never thought of it, but I guess my teacher side did come out that way.
Yes.
and I wanted to start something abstract, talking about how nature is inside me. And then I wanted to bring everyone into the kitchen, something concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the basics of Indian cooking, is fried onions sautéed in a base of garlic and ginger. Then you add your green chilies, add the spices, and add all the vegetables on top of that. That's the base of Indian cooking. So I wanted to take everyone right into the kitchen at the end of it, and then transition back and remind everyone that we are, the horizon. We have nature. We have nature inside of us. And we are one with nature. And there's no way we can get away from that. We're not separate. Everything on this planet is one. Everything. Even art and science. I also have a science background, a health background, of course. Everyone says, how did you become a writer? And how you like acting too. But I'm like, for me, it was just a shift in perspective. That's all it really was. Because for me, it's all one. Art and science are two sides of the same coin.
Yes. I have that same combination of health and science background, and then poetry as a healing form. But to this point about when you mentioned nonviolence, that was one of the things that Dr. King miraculously did. He used principles or teachings from Mahatma Gandhi and the nonviolent movement in India to the civil rights movement, because at the time, people were outgunned, the police had guns. The one thing of having people standing just locked arm in arm or kneeling against a force of people that had dogs and water, it was shaking the consciousness of the nation, because America across the world was presenting itself as this great bastion of freedom. And people knew of the history of, Black people in helping to revitalize the South, save the South with the economy of slave labor or unfairly paid labor. So having people that were under such a threat of life and death in the South. And then I was a child at 10 years old. I was impressed because they came to the church. One of the ways that the people involved in the Christian leadership group that was traveling and helping people get prepared for boycotts and prepared for marches, they came to church and they had a dinner. After church, there was a meal. And then after the meal, they would demonstrate how to bind together, how to cover your head, how to keep your arms locked, and being able to pray these different songs, as you said, the songs that came out of that movement, or the songs that went along, I shall not be moved, we shall overcome, a number of songs people sang. But food was one of the things that brought people together, blessing the food, eating together. When people had meetings, they served food, which was a way of loving. As you said, love. The food was love, and the food was encouraging and nourishing for the body.
And it's ironic because here, food is doing the opposite thing. Mm-hmm. It's separating people. While food is supposed to bring a sense of community, a sense of togetherness, that's traditionally what food is all about. The kitchen is considered to be the heart of the home.
Yes.
No? And now in India, it's just the opposite is happening, which is very ironic. And they're also, they're also being treated very badly. It's supposed to be nonviolent, but they're being attacked. And I tell my students too, don't be afraid to stand up no matter what happens. And they're like, they're afraid. I go, yes. But even if it's just through your writing, a little piece. As long as you touch one person's heart, you've done your job. That's my philosophy.
Yes, that's where I think, you know, the power of one, for your standing up and then seeing the farmers, people being motivated that there were farmers here out, you know, protesting, and that the prime minister didn't come out and say, oh, this is only an Indian problem. He came out, you know, speaking supportively for and making the connection that this is something that's important, and, you know, in Canada to our food policies, food costs, and just recognizing farmers as fundamental to our society. If there's no farmers, and if people are not, if there aren't some controls or subsidies, then food could be too expensive for anyone to eat.
She allows me to flower and blossom. Mm. That's what food does, and that's what the mother does. What is she always worried about? Getting emotional. Did you eat? Did you have your lunch? Did you have your breakfast? That's the first thing that the mother asks. So, yes, the mother is meant to nurture, to sustain, and the earth is our mother. Not just my mother, she's everyone's mother. There's farms everywhere. There's farms everywhere on this planet. So, yes.
And as you say, we are called to be guardians, which makes me, brings to mind a song, this song, If I Can Help Somebody, by Mahalia Jackson, was one that Dr. King often had her sing before or after he spoke, or when he just needed a lift.
I can help somebody as I travel alone. I can help somebody in a world or a soul. Shall not be. you know my living shall not be in vain.
That song, If I Can Help Somebody, is one of the fundamental things from the movements around the world, movements of people in nonviolent movements, people involved in Black Lives Matter, people involved in trying to get the attention that at the heart of the leader, at the heart of the person trying to do something for good, is this notion of if I can help somebody. Are there ways, Sherry, that you could suggest people here, what are some ways that they can help people with this issue of the subsidies to farmers in India?
Good question. I think it's all about raising awareness. I think that is the key thing. Go check out the protests, ask questions, do your own research. You know, some people say ignorance is bliss, but I don't think that's the case. Spread that. It all started for me, my personal journey started with doing my own research. Because I had no idea, like I said, about what was going on. So do research for yourself. Think for yourself. And that's what I tell my students too. Don't just like live in your own kind of bubble. Expand your horizons. Do your research. See what's going on out there. Not only with the farmers' protest, with everything else going on in the planet. And I think it starts with making, first of all, self-awareness. And then once you become aware of the issues, spreading that awareness to others. And if you've never been to a protest, come to Surrey. Come to Surrey and see, go ask them questions. Go see what's going on and read about it, write about it. There's so much that you can do just by spreading the word. And like I said, even if one person is affected, then a shift of consciousness happens.
Yes.
And then change occurs that way.
Yes, as I said, I was inspired as a 10-year-old child when they came and they said they were going to have protests against, they were Kansas. I grew up in Kansas, which was supposed to be a state that was a free state. It wasn't in the South, but where were restaurants where we couldn't sit at the, we couldn't sit down in the restaurant. And so when they began to have boycotts in Kansas, there was a restaurant called the Copper Kettle, and they were talking about organizing people. And I was like, I want to go, I want to go. And, but I was too little. But parents gave me a Brownie camera for Christmas. And so two of us from the same church, we asked if we could be there with the people that were protesting and take pictures of anybody that spit on the people. And so I think then it came, now I'm reflecting on the witness of children, because I think because we were there with our cameras, maybe people might have had a second thought, whether the second thought is, I don't want my picture taken, or whether the thought was, I don't want a child to see me acting ugly, spitting on or hitting these demonstrators. Mm-hmm. No one did that, but it just, it gave me such a reflection of, you know, what can I do that, you know, children, these children that are marching now for climate control, who get a permit, but then beyond the permit, they said, I don't care if you said we could be on this street. Whole streets in Vancouver have had to be shut down in other cities. Schools have been dismissed because of the consciousness of one child sharing her feelings and then igniting the spirit of other children to protest and say, you have to do something about the climate. It's not acceptable to us, you know, to grow up in a world where our island, our land is sinking, you know, all the things that are described or foretold has happened, that there are children doing this research. The fact that you said, do some research. I think in Vancouver, tugging thing at me sometimes is the apathy that I find around college students. I was interviewing some around before the election time of, what do you think the issue should be? What are your issues? And some said, oh, I don't want to discuss politics. Yeah. You're in a college. You pay dues. There's a governing board. you are in a political system. It's not a dirty word. It's, you know, it is a word that has got so much progress, you know, attached to it. Peaceful demonstrations or people, you know, it doesn't mean that you only are walking down the street singing songs. People are chanting. They are making noise. They don't have to be violent and break up things. But the power of people, as you said, uniting and singing and doing their research and telling other people.
And I like to tell the audience, thinking is free. Thinking doesn't cost anything. And it all starts in the thought process. And I like to tell my students, don't be afraid. I know it's hard. Even I get emotional. I get scared. I get frustrated. What is going on? But I think the key thing is knowing different ways to ground yourself. Yes. Amidst all the chaos that is going on, especially with the pandemic, how do you ground yourself? What can you do to make yourself feel better? What can you do for everyone? It's different things. For me, just listening to some lovely music makes me feel better. Or even just sitting and just writing. It's like a form of release, or watching a good movie, or cooking a good meal, going for a walk. There's so many things that you can do. But I think thinking is important, because through thinking, you understand yourself better. And then through that, you understand others better and what they're going through. And that's what I tell my students. I teach AP psychology. Don't be afraid of thinking. Don't follow things blindly. Question things. And you know, when you question things, you become an activist anyway. Just by questioning something, you're an activist. That is my...
In a free society, questions demand answers, whether it's from a professor, a parent, or a government officer.
Well, this can definitely lead to solutions and answers if we just all work together and see what we can do.
I think another thing that you've done is using media. You put your poem on YouTube, and then you also have a dance.
It's a pandemic dance. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to capture what everyone's going through the pandemic. And I go to the process. It was very emotional shooting it, but we did it in like two takes.
Wow.
Yes, we did it in two takes. I just came up with the concept the night before, and we were supposed to shoot another dance of mine. But this, I love the music. This came into my mind, and it goes through all the emotions of how people are feeling through the pandemic. And then at the end, I end up grounding myself through nature.
Very nice.
Through hugging a tree. And again, it's not easy to go through that thought process. But the way I grounded myself is through nature, through the tree. So like I said, everyone has to find their own way of how to ground themselves. And that video was a prime example of perfectly, you know, stated the timing in terms of this interview, because that's what I'm talking about. How do you ground yourself?
And the musical inspiration came from?
I was just doing a YouTube search. I see, I want to do this pandemic dance. This is the night before at like 2 a.m.
Wow.
In my bedroom. I'm like, oh, let's see this. Let's listen to this music. This sounds like something. And then I'm, okay, that's perfect. Let's shoot it tomorrow. And that's what happened. Right now, I'm working on a racism dance.
Ah, I mean, that's, again, different ways or different examples of servant leadership. You're not looking for, oh, I want a big badge as the leader, and you know, I won't lead this unless you give me whatever number of $1,000s. But you know, leading from a principle, from, you said, being concerned, doing research, and then using your creative arts to do a poem and then to craft a dance. There's so many options available for people who sometimes, it would drive me crazy sometimes riding the bus up to the campus, and everybody would have their heads down looking at, you know, playing with their phones. And I thought, a bear could get on this bus and have eaten half the people before the other people look up and see, ah, there's a bear on the bus, because they're so tied in to just consuming from that device rather than as you are exhibiting and as many people who may change, recording, speaking, putting things out that people can listen to, be inspired by, raise questions about. So I think that while people might not picture this as a part of picture that comes into some people's head when you say politics or activism, is just the noisy tearing up, because that's the soundbite too often that people grab, rather than what was the meaning, what's the issues about. And so I just commend you in being able to do that and provide that as an example. And we have something that you can go to. You went on YouTube, we found some music, but somebody can go on YouTube and they can find your pandemic dance, or they can find the poem and find a way for whatever it is that the mother, you know, is speaking to you about, that you can raise consciousness and help change. That comes to another concept that Dr. King talked about, the beloved community. What is your image of a beloved community?
A beloved community to me is like a beautiful, colorful mosaic. See, that's the first image that comes to my mind. Like, you know, those mosaic glasses with different pieces that fit together to give you a whole picture, a whole harmonious picture. Mm-hmm. And that's what comes to mind. And a sense of community is in the heart. It's all in the heart. I mean, being an activist, you may feel like an outsider. And I wrote another poem, actually, based on the image of a revolving door. The intergenerational trauma, how it's repeating and going back and forth, back and forth. How do we get out of that cycle? It's standing outside of the revolving door, mm-hmm. and not being part of all of it. It may be isolating, but know that there's people before you and after you who are also following the same path as you. No matter how isolated you feel, no matter how alone you feel, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately, I think of the eagle, for example, as a beautiful creature.
Yes.
I like to think of an eagle. And how do eagles, how do eagles travel? Alone. Eagles are so powerful, such powerful creatures, but they're traveling all alone.
I like to think of something of the nature of the mother eagle. You know, it's said that the mother eagle has her wings and she flies the bird out a little bit, then takes her wing out and lets them flop around, but then brings it back under. And she doesn't keep doing that every day, but to the point that that eagle is supported and able to fly. And so I just thought that people as leaders, is that person that keeps their wing out there as people are starting to get their feet out from up under them. I mean, and then move forward and not just bring people. I think it's kind of irresponsible sometimes when people just bring people to a demonstration or bring people to protest or get them started, but then drop them, you know, that they have to be gently, you know, carried under the wings until they're able to stand on their own and get other people excited. And that's the kind of things I think about the beloved community, as people are exciting others and bringing them together and nurturing them so that they can, you know, have a focus toward making the world a better place.
And, you know what, join different groups.
Yes.
There's different activist groups. Find people who are like-minded, like you. Take part. Be active in your own way. You know, join different groups, meet different people, and that'll open you up. And that'll also allow you to feel as though you're not as alone. And will help you find and have a sense of connection and community with those around you by taking those steps.
In a community, of course, there is food. Now, here we have this where we're supposed to, you know, stay in your own house, eat your own food, or just not have these big gatherings of food. But what are ways that people can, you know, we have this medium, Zoom, I see you, we can put our hands on the screen and touch each other. What are some ways that people can have communal meals like that and share ideas?
I think social media, Zoom are great platforms. I saw in the news that a family had dinner together over Zoom. You know, they ate at the same time. And then another person, this is pretty interesting, had made pictures and they put it on each of the chairs of the family members.
Oh, that's nice.
And then, they put it in each of the chairs so they didn't feel as alone. And yeah, I think these are some of the ways, especially nowadays with the pandemic. Keep yourself engaged. Whether it's the social media, make phone call to someone you haven't talked to for a while. Why not? Make phone calls, do Zoom sessions. And that's what I'm going to do with a few friends, you know? And you know what? Even if it's just going out for nature walks, you can wear your mask. Maybe two or three people, keep your distance and enjoy. Now, days are getting longer, so we can take advantage of that.
Yes. You certainly have made some examples and given people some things to think about. Are there any upcoming meetings or gatherings of farmers around this issue?
There's always something. I wish I knew the next one. But Gurpreet Singh is also an activist. You can follow him online and you can and keep posted as to any protests locally. It's just holding up a sign. It's nonviolent. It's just showing, you know, solidarity with what they're going through in India. And like I said, it's not an isolated event. Everyone and everything is one. So we need to be aware of that, not only about the farmers' issue, but in terms of everything going on, even in terms of racism in all different parts of the world, which is also increased because of the pandemic.
Yes, and because we had such a horrible, I don't even want to say leader, had a horrible person sitting in the office of the president who did speaking lies. I'm trying to choose my words. I can't think of any. I'm trying to think of kind words, ways of saying, but did a lot to bring back old barriers and old hatred. I mean, the hatred had to be there, and he was like a bellwether lightning rod drawing it out. But we've had other presidents and other people who spoke to people in times of crisis in a way that made them want to heal and feel like they could reach across. So I think you mentioned Gurpreet Singh. His magazine, Radical Desi?
Radical Desi, yes. You Desi. Can check out his magazine. And what was I going to say? I was going to say something. The thought slipped my mind. Oh, yes. And that's why I think it's even more important, especially with all the hate crime, to have healthy outlets for all these different emotions we haven't felt ever before because of this pandemic. And I think why hate crime and all of these things are increasing prejudice is because we don't know how to deal with our feelings. We don't know how to deal with our emotions. So I think it's even more important now than ever to find those healthy outlets and to ground yourself and to utilize those little things that'll help you go back to earth instead of being up in your head all the time.
Right, and getting to know people because, you know, on our block, I notice what I have on my mask. I'll say good morning, and some people, you know, they just look at me strange, but other people, you know, they nod their heads doing other things to get to know the people in your building. I mean, it's a basic safety thing. And we're in I didn't realize when I moved to Vancouver, it had earthquakes. I moved here from Los Angeles and thought I was moving away. But one of the things that the fire department taught is get to know the people in your building. So even if you don't see them, I wrote my laundry. I didn't get down in time to get the stuff out of the dryer. And somebody folded. They actually folded all of my stuff up. And so I thought, instead of getting mad, thinking they touched my clothes, I put a little card. I wrote a note. Thank you, neighbor. My name is. So if you ever, but I said, you know, we should leave notes for each other. Some children were doing that. That's one of the great things that children started doing during the pandemic. They were making hearts and putting them on windows. And then because through media, you could see it, the idea caught fire and lots of other people, you know, put hearts on their windows. A child left something on my doorstep. I came in, I thought, what's this card? And it was a little card from anonymous. Well, she gave her name, but I didn't know who this Chrissy was. But she just stuck on a few things. And it was just a little children's drawing that said, love, peace, happy. And I thought, I stuck it, you know, I didn't think, oh, this might be German. I put it in my room. So I think other things that people can do to reach out to get to know people, whether it's through notes or whether it's through Zoom, that we do have this effort to become this beloved community. I think you were talking through your poem, you draw a picture of a beloved community and the mother calling to us to taste the spice, feel the breezes, feel the textures. That I think that's your great contribution. I'm sure among many, but you know, there could be a whole movie around that poem.
Thank you so much. And you know, being a poet and a writer, I think also write a letter. I know we live in a world of email, you know, but why not use the traditional handwrite a letter and send it to someone? It might make their day. And you know what? A simple thing is just a smile or helping someone. I believe that every day you should do something kind to someone and you'll automatically feel better and feel grounded by doing that.
Yes. Wow.
And count your blessings every day. Because just like you do something nice for someone, every day there's someone who's done something nice for me. Like yesterday, my car battery died. My car battery died, and I was generally very grateful to the BCAA guy who came to fix my car battery. And then I went to Canadian Tire, and I was genuinely very, very grateful for those who helped me get my car battery fixed. Little things like that.
Yes.
Someone who has helped you during the day. Thank them. And do something so that someone can thank you in their mind too, every day. That's my philosophy.
Well, thank you for that philosophy. It makes me think of another song. People all over the world, it's time to join in. Love song, and to just really, I just say good to know the other parts of the world. I think it was just a thing that I treasure from what you did, and then seeing the news bite about the farmers here, that's one of our hopes, we can get to know the people on the street in other countries, what their concerns are, and how our either, as you wrote, standing with them or encouraging them can make a difference. You know, even the choices, whether we choose to use a whole roll of toilet paper up that kills the trees or to look for alternatives to paper towels, like rewashing our plates, that these things, as we understand how what we do here impacts people in another place, that helps us to bring about a more beloved community, loving world.
And it's just not my country that's hurting. Every part of the world is hurting, you guys. So why don't we stand in solidarity as human beings, as one, and work towards making this planet a better place? By understanding each other, by forming a sense of community, and realizing that, okay, it's not just India. The whole planet is suffering in different ways. There's human rights infringement in all different parts of the world. We can never forget that. Everyone's going through something. It's a matter of listening, opening up your minds, and also opening up your hearts.
Yes, and as we do that, we will make the world a better place. As we do that, there is hope for humanity. We will have done what we came here to do, not just be consumers, but also givers and carers.
Yes. Yes, we live in a world of consumerism. So why don't we try doing the opposite, giving back in some way to our community? And even to ourselves. We always forget about ourselves, especially mothers. They tend to take care of the family so much. Give to yourself too, because by giving to yourself, you allow yourself to be able to give to others. Because no one can give with a glass that's half empty. Right. Fill your own glass with joy and happiness by doing what you love. And then once you do that, and then you can, that all that overflowing from that glass will pour onto others and be showered onto those around you. Share your blessings and your bliss and your joy with those around you. It's very, very important.
Well, today my guest has been Sherry Dougal. She has shared with us her poetry, explained why it's important to stand with farmers. Why it's important to understand the food that's so fundamental to us is something that is not automatic, that we have to be conscious of and send support to people that provide this food all around the world. And we've thought of ways that we can help each other, get to know our neighbors, and get to know the people that govern us and let them know what we think about the policies here and how they impact people around the world.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF Radio, the place to be. I want to thank you for spending time with me on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. My guest has been Sherry Dougal. We've discussed servant leadership, ways that you can get involved. And in place of my regular ending, I'm going to leave you with an excerpt from the Drum Major Instinct. It was one of Dr. King's most memorable sermons, and this excerpt gives some of the key points about how he would like to be remembered as someone who helped somebody. Let's look at ways we can help somebody to make the world a better place and make democracy and justice something that really exists around the world.
True greatness comes not by favoritism, but by fitness. And the right hand and the left are not mine to give. They belong to those who are prepared. And so Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And This morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. And every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side, not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition, but I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth.
So I am Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. I'll see you again next week at 10, but you know, it's always love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you.